I just want to speak a little bit on the importance of the deity. Srila Prabhupada said that if we don't have the deity, we have the tendency to think that God is impersonal. God has no form. And someone who has no form, how are you going to love them? How are you going to contact them? What are they? Someone has no form, they're non-person. And God is not non-person. But, of course, God's form is not material. Just like Krishna had 16,108 wives. But when Krishna came home, he became 16,108 Krishnas. And each went to a separate palace. So this is, if you have to understand Krishna, we cannot understand Krishna like an ordinary person. It will be very very difficult to understand Krishna if you try to understand Krishna as a regular person. So all this knowledge about Krishna is very important to know. Then you can appreciate what the deity form is. Because we have to form this idea that God is a person. So Srila Prabhupada trained the devotees to take care of Krishna. Not that we are always after what Krishna can give us. Oh, Krishna give us this, Krishna give us this, give us this. And so the idea of devotional service is you become trained how to do something for Krishna. You become trained how to take care of Krishna. You prepare something for Krishna to eat. And that is the where the deity comes in. The deity form is very important. And actually, when you learn to reciprocate with the deity like this, then you begin to realize that God is the Supreme Person. Unless you have this deity form, to understand it properly, you cannot. God has also this impersonal form. But how are you gonna do something for the impersonal form? How are you going to prepare some food for the impersonal form? The impersonal form is not eating anything. You cannot do anything for the impersonal form. But this personal form of Krishna, you see, Krishna when he's here with all the like all these pictures are there. That is where the really rasa is with Krishna. This is beyond the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. There are many yogis, they're trying to get into the Brahma Jyoti. But the devotees are going beyond the Brahma Jyoti to find Krishna and to be able to associate with Krishna and to enter into these, to go back to Godhead. This is the process. Just like we have this magazine, Back to Godhead. So the deity form is authorized by Krishna. Not that somebody go and dig up some dirt and make something and call this God. I'll make a thing and call that God. No, the deity worship is not like that. Srila Prabhupada explains, if you get a program from the television station, what the program they give, that's what's showing. So the authorities in the devotional service, what they present, that's what's going on. This is very wonderful because Srila Prabhupada was here himself installing these deities. There's some pictures out in the hallway. Srila Prabhupada himself with his own hands installed these Radha Krishna deities here. And these deities are very powerful. You see they're small, but they're very powerful deities. And they've been making so many devotees over the years. Me, myself, I became a devotee here in Boston in 1972. And at that time we had another temple in Alston Union Square. At that time we were going out on Hari Nam every evening. We're going out on Hari Nam. And then many devotees were living in the temple at that time. We had like 55 brahmacharis, and there were I think there were two women there. But there was a lot of excitement because Srila Prabhupada was here. So these deities are not like dollies. You've seen a child with a dolly. This is totally different. Totally different. But the principles are somewhat similar. That You, by serving the deity properly, by doing things for them, just like Srila Prabhupada has trained us, that Krishna has to be taken care of like 24 hours. If you go somewhere, you see a statue, the statue is not like the deity. Deity is totally different. Even if you see a statue of Krishna, it's different than the deity of Krishna. But the deity of Krishna, because a pure devotee has made this process and asked Krishna to come here to take these services. So it's not the same thing like just an ordinary statue of Krishna. And you see, you have to be serving Krishna 24 hours. This morning, Krishna has to eat in the morning, he has to take shower, he has to do completely everything. These deities, they're showered, they're clean, they're fed, they're everything. And this is where you learn how to take care of Krishna. Because usually we think that God doesn't need anything. What you can do for God? God doesn't need anything. Look how powerful He is. He makes the whole universe. He doesn't need anything. And that's not the correct way to think. Just like Krishna's mother, this picture over here, Mother Yasoda. But Krishna needs his mother. Krishna's not thinking, I'm Supreme Lord, I don't need anything. This is a sentiment that has to be there. And then one can realize what this loving Krishna is all about. Because loving cannot happen if the one person is doing everything for you. That's not going to happen. Love is like both things. You do something for them and they do something for you also. It's like reciprocation. So to learn this reciprocation from Krishna, with Krishna is very important. And a lot of training is required. Just like if you have to, just even for an ordinary engineer, it takes so much training for him to become an engineer. So if you want to be a pure devotee, how much training that takes? Not that I chant a few mantras, I do this and it'll happen automatically, no. And so anyway, this Srila Prabhupada, being a pure devotee, has the potency to call Krishna and to bring Krishna to this temple. And when Krishna is here, then all kinds of devotees will take shelter of Krishna and become purified. Krishna is coming here to see who wants to go back home. Who is serious to go back to the spiritual world. That's Krishna is coming here to see this. So the Prabhupada said, you cannot see Krishna, but Krishna can see you. Of course, when you become purified, you'll understand that you'll be able to see Krishna also. Not just in this deity form, but you'll be able to see Krishna in the heart. If you love Radha Govinda, if you become purified, you go in the heart, you'll see Radha Govinda. If you become purified, you'll see Radha Gopi Balava. Whomever you like, you'll see them. So this deity worship is very important if you want to become purified and you want to develop this attitude of loving Krishna and serving Krishna. Nowhere else you'll find this very, very, very detailed information. There's so many big books that they are describing this process. This is called our archanam, very important for purification. And there's a big elaborate process for this also. Just like you'll see tonight, they're going to bathe the deities. So in the Krishna consciousness movement, we're bathing Krishna, we're cleaning him, we're feeding him, we're doing all kinds of things. Somebody else is not doing anything for God. But here, we train how to take care of God. Not God is like just to take care of us. It's different. And actually, God is already taking care of you. Even if you don't know it, He's still doing it. So you don't have to ask God, please take care of me, God. Or like we usually say, oh God, please, our daily bread. So this is a little different. This is you bring the offerings to Krishna. You learn how to serve Krishna by you taking shelter of this process of archanam. And actually, you can learn how to practice this at home. You should get some murti of Krishna and keep an altar at home. So the training from the temple expands to the home also. And because Krishna consciousness is not like for Sunday. It's like for every day, it's for every hour, it's for every time. But of course, Sunday is very important because we come and associate with all the devotees together. And we, in the association of devotees, that's where you get Krishna. You cannot get Krishna at home alone. That's why the devotee association is there. And sometimes we're missing something, somebody else has that, we can get that from them to do our devotional service. So devotees and Krishna are not separated, the devotees are not separated, and the devotees and Krishna are not separated. And therefore, so these deities are very loving, are very caring, and very important for Boston. Those who come here to see these deities, they can get a nice understanding about Krishna consciousness. They can become, purified, a very nice human being, very evolved, very elevated. And so, as you'll see, they are. So Krishna is being taken care of very nicely. In the morning, Krishna is eating. So many preparations. There's morning, there's breakfast, there's snacks, and there's nighttime preparations also. And also the deities' clothes are being changed regularly. It's like if somebody's living, you have to change their clothes. They have to be bathed, they have to be changed. You can't have somebody in the same clothes. So the deity worship is very important. And it has to be authorized. Like I said before, not anybody could just go and make something and worship that. No, that's unauthorized. And gradually you can understand. These deities are representing the different forms of Krishna. You have, on the left, you have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was here some little more than 500 years ago. This is Radha Krishna deities. Radha Rani, our Krishna's consort. And on this side over here, you have the beautiful Lord Jagannath. Now you have all these festivals all over the country and all over the world, actually. You know, celebrating Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath is also Krishna. You see the black form. And in the middle, you have the sister. There's the sister, Subhadra, and the brother, Balaram. So this is where family life comes from. Krishna, the original family. And so everything is there very nicely. And so like I said before, you have to find out about this deity worship. To understand that Krishna is personal, he has his personal form and personal activities. If you don't have this deity worship to come to this purification, it's very difficult to, like I said before, to approach the impersonal form of Krishna. It's very difficult. So these deities is helping out Boston a lot. A lot of people became devotees here in Boston, and they went to L.A., they went to different temples all over, and the deities are still here, and their mercy is still there, and they're so wonderful. And so you have to approach this temple and you approach these deities with a service attitude to do something for them. Not that, be careful, don't approach these deities like, what can you do for me? God is already doing so many things for you. Now let us see what you can do for Krishna. Ask not what Krishna can do for you, but ask what you can do for Krishna. I know John F. Kennedy said that, right? But this is the Krishna consciousness, and congratulations for everybody being here. You have... No, you want to read it? Okay, this is from this one devotee that was living here. He was Pujari here for how long? All right, let me just run through this quick. All right, this is from this devotee. He says here, A short time after I became a pujari in the early 1980s, the temple received in the mail a flyer. No, this is second page. When I first moved to the Boston Temple in 1981, my service was book distribution. I was not particularly good at it, nor was I going out, an outgoing person who easily talks to strangers. But I did it and derived a certain amount of satisfaction from such a special service. And traveling and living in a van was quite exciting and adventurous. After a year or two, the practice of collecting money at events like concerts and cars, races, by selling bumper stickers was introduced, and that became my new service. Doing that required neither material skills nor spiritual potency, so I was able to collect a fair amount of money, though I was just an average compared to the other devotees doing it. The passionate Venus and irregular schedules gradually took its toll on my consciousness, and let us say just that my Krishna consciousness was not at all at the best level ever. After a few weeks on the road, our party came back to the temple. I walked in the door and His Grace Naranjana Maharaj was standing there. I think he was regional secretary at that time. He took one look at me and said, "Acharya, you look like a ghost." I explained that perhaps I was a little run down, but after a few days of recuperation at the temple, I would be ready to go out again. He said no, then said that he would recommend me for a second initiation at the upcoming Gitanagari festival. And after that, he immediately made me a pujari under the care and training of His Grace Damodara Prabhu. I take this as one of the key moments of my life, and I'm convinced that His Grace Naranjana Swami saved my spiritual life by doing this, especially when you hear the old stories about how managers would sometimes not take good care, personal care of devotees, and put money first. It becomes clear how intelligent and compassionate Maharaj was, and I am eternally indebted to him for that. My first service was bathing and dressing the little Radha Krishna deities. I think that now it is simplified procedure, but at that time it was relatively complex process with lots of mantras and tantras. I remember as I was dressing them, looking up at Damodar dressing Radha Gopalava and mimicking what he was doing, making little reduced scale turbans copied from Gopalava's, etc. Eventually I got to take care of Sri Radha Gopalava, and I was not a great pujari. I'm not an artistic person, and I could sometimes be short-tempered with other pujaris. But in my own way, and to my little abilities, I tried to serve them. I am so grateful for that experience. The regulation, cleanliness, and devotion needed were so essential to my development as a devotee. Anyway, after a few years, my long-held desire to live a simple rural life grew stronger, and I eventually left the shelter of Dear Lotus Feet in order to move to Gitanagari. And while after moving to Gitanagari, I came back to visit Boston and spent a few weeks working with the flower business to make some money for my upcoming transition to Grihastha life. My first morning back there at greetings of the deities, when the curtain opened, I unthinkably called out, "Jai Radha Damodara." His Holiness Narajama was standing next to me, and he turned to me and hit me, but not too hard. Anyway, I have been away from them for so long, both to the exigencies of my work as well as the lack of devotion. But Shri Radha Gopi Balava and the Boston devotees are always in my heart. A short time after I became put...
It's two different offerings from the same person.
Oh, it's two different offerings. All right, we can stop here. You can
read a couple of offerings from other devotees, and I can tell you a little bit about some experiences I had with Radha Gopalava. I actually moved into the Boston Temple the same year that Radha Gopalava were installed. And So they were already there on the altar when I moved in. So it's like 43 years. It's actually not quite 43 years for me, because it was a few months later that I actually moved in, but approximately 43 years. And I see that Radha Gopi Vallabha, in those days, we served them very enthusiastically. And I read one of these offerings, which I'll read, how for about 2 years, Sumati slept only 4 hours a night because we didn't have time. It was just so busy serving their lordship. So we were very, very busy, very enthusiastic. One time, I did traveling sankirtan for a while, and while I was doing the traveling sankirtan, we were allowed to keep 1% of the collection for getting a gift for the deities. Nowadays, people keep money for themselves. I find that devotees do that. Sometimes devotees even ask other people for money so that they can have money for themselves. We never had a penny for ourselves. Everything belonged to Krishna. Prabhupada trained us. Everything belongs to Krishna. Brahmachari goes out and collects, and not a farthing is his. Everything is Krishna's. But we were authorized to keep 1% to get a gift for the deities. So we actually had about $400 or maybe a little more, which was actually a little more than the 1%, but I did it anyway. And we bought a very beautiful diamond in Chicago at the Diamond Center. And then we had it made into a nose ring, and we presented it to Srimati Radharani. And for Radharani, she's got everything. It's not a big deal, but I know she appreciates that love and affection that we had in giving her that nose ring. Eventually, the nose ring was sold because the devotees didn't take care of things, and they may have lost it. So, and Prabhupada said we should not have real jewelry on the deities, not real stones. But I think part of that, buying that nose ring for Radharani, that Radharani has not forgotten me, and she has brought me back here to again render service. And I think she's also bringing Bhushara back here to render service too. So maybe we're going to have an old crew here. But it was just, it was the attitude with the deities. But my first experience with the deities, okay, I'll have to tell you a little bit of history of myself. As far as religion goes, I was born a Catholic, never very religious. And at a certain point in my life, I started inquiring about the absolute, and I realized there has to be more to life than just this external things. You know, just getting married, having kids, getting a house, kids going to college, getting grandkids, and then dying. It's like, that didn't make any sense. I actually thought, if that's all there is to life, then why don't I just die now? What's the use of going through all that trouble? So I thought there has to be more to life. Then because I was brought up a Catholic, I got a Bible for the first time in my life. I started reading from the Bible, and I started realizing who Jesus was. And I really, you know, accepted Jesus and wanted to be like Jesus and thought many things. One of the things I thought was, if I lived during Jesus' time, that I would be one of his disciples. Anyway, so later on when I learned, I checked out different religions, and every time I checked out a religion, I'd find one thing wrong with it, and I'd question it, and if I didn't get a good answer, I'd reject that religion. Because if it's not perfect, I don't want it, you know. And then when I checked out Krishna consciousness, I found things I thought were wrong, but when I questioned, I always got very good, logical, intelligent answers that completely satisfied me. So I certainly didn't want to become a devotee because I didn't want to wear a dress. But But one time, you know, I was trying to come up with excuses why I shouldn't be a devotee. And then Krishna, in my heart, told me that, remember, you said that if you lived during Jesus' time, you would be one of his disciples? And I, of course, said yes. And then he said, well, you're now living during Srila Prabhupada's time. Why don't you become one of his disciples? So I was defeated. So I had to move in the temple. So I moved in the temple here in Boston. I'm from New York, and I wanted to get a little further away from my family. So I came to Boston. And in Kirtan, and I'm looking very much at Radha Gopi Balava, and I'm seeing them, and I'm chanting, and I'm seeing them. But in my mind is a big turmoil of, you're worshiping idols, you're going to hell. And I have this dilemma. I'm in the kirtan and the titis are there. And finally, I didn't know what to do. I thought that what has Krishna given me? How do I know what's right and wrong? Just because I'm born in a particular religion, does that make it right? So then I thought, the only thing I have that he's given me is some intelligence. So I have to use my intelligence to figure out which is the right thing. And this makes more sense than anything else. So still the mind is such a demon rascal. It's still telling me you're worshiping idols, you're going to go to hell. And then I thought that I don't care. Even if I go to hell, I'm still going to worship Radha Gopi Balava. And when I said that in my mind, I felt complete ecstasy. Something I can't explain to anyone, but my whole body felt total ecstasy as reciprocation from Radha Gopi Balava that is the right thing to do. Don't matter what, if I worship them. That way I defeated this stupid mind with this stupid idea. And of course, many times after that, Radha Gopi Balava have reciprocated so many things and told me so many things and confirmed that they are not statues. They are Radha Gopi Balava who appeared there. Radha and Krishna are there. So we can render service to them. That is why they're there. So we get this great opportunity to serve them. So I don't have very much time, and I have to read a couple of offerings. So this one is from Madhava. Anyone here know Madhava? A few people know Madhava. Okay. He's in Alachua now, and he's still a really good devotee, and he does a lot of service. But this was his first temple. Hartford was his first temple. That's the temple I met. Yeah, you could do that. Yeah, okay. That's good. My dear Sri Sri Radha Gopi Balaba, as you stand there with your benediction glance, with your ever beautiful Radha at your side, with your many eager servants looking with love-filled eyes, we come to realize that you have been the one constant in Boston over the last 43 years, of which the majority of that time has been right where you stand right now. You have always been there for us, your servants, to look upon, to make offerings to hear our prayers, to accept our worship, to simply be in your presence, the lords of the brownstone. The two of you majestically stand there looking out at Commonwealth Avenue through the seasons, years, and decades, sometimes in a packed hall, sometimes alone, or with a few, or a one. You are always there upon that unique marble altar with Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra on your left and Gorni Thai on your right, with Vishakha and Lalita glowing on the sides, the arches behind, the mirrors above, your divine sanctum, the lords of Kam Av. You have remained through the ISKCON eras, our successors and our failures. when we were known as the Brahmachari Ashram, the exquisite flower power, the ghee capital of the world. These were different histories what Boston went through. The book distribution training center, the college preaching hub, to where you were the only ones alone in a closed, renovating building, the one amongst all the zeros, the lords of the Back Bay. You were given to us by your glorious servant. He brought you, bathed you, showed us how to dress you, told us to clean our hearts by cleaning your paraphernalia. In fact, Srila Prabhupada gave us you. And it's, quote, the spiritual master is always engaged in the temple worship of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. He also engages his disciples in such worship. They dress the deities in beautiful clothes and ornaments, clean their temple, and perform other similar worship of the Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. For that we are eternally indebted to the lords of Boston. Satellites emanate from your feet, Maine to Rhode Island, Cape Cod and Connecticut. Your servants covered the towns and villages in the region, spreading your name and glories. Servants from all across congregate together at your holy days of appearance. Hundreds, thousands, and millions, all blessed by your presence. Another meaning of Dham is that which influences. Your influence spreads far and wide, perhaps unknown to the many passerby who may hear your arti. Steal a glance through the window, interact with your servants, or catch the scent wafting out the doors, all deeply influencing their hearts, the lords of New England. The list of servants, all dear to you, is impossible to keep track, each with their own special relationship. You have accommodated the varieties of moods, talents, heartfelt desires, and love of these fortunate jivas. We have come and gone, all deeply influenced by the opportunity given to see you, cook for you, wake, bathe, dress, decorate, clean for, sew, chant, sing, pray to, indeed, love. Our Lord, our Master, our Father, our Mother, our best friend, our counsel. Accepting our jubilation and our crushing defeats, you have remained the constant for us. Yes, we have come and gone to become mother, father, guru, scholars, spreaders of your name. Many have returned to you, granting them their heart's desire to be with you eternally. Dear servants who taught us how to love you, and others who for the time being may have forgotten you, but who will soon return to your feet by your supreme desire. All of these, this long litany of servants, impossible to name all, have you as their constant, to whom you are permanently etched upon their hearts. For them you remain eternally the lords of their hearts. This one very fallen servant of yours prays, may you continue to guide and bless my devotion to you. May I eternally remain your menial servant, insignificant Madhava Das. July 18, 2014, for the occasion of the 43rd anniversary of the installation of our Divine Lordship, Sri Sri Radha Gopi Balava. And we have that. So Radha Gopi Balava have impressed many devotees. and had made people have a change of heart. They are very real, very kind, very merciful. And Prabhupada once said, if you approach them as brass or stone, the deities, they will remain brass or stone. But if you approach him as Krishna, then he will reveal himself to you that he's Krishna. We shouldn't think it's just a representative of Krishna. It's not like just a, it is Krishna. It's not different from Krishna. So this offering is by Sumati. Sumati, when I joined the temple here, she was already here, and she was already the head pujari when I moved in 1971. And later I became a pujari for a little while. I took care of little Radha and Krishna for a little while. Then I went back out on book distribution. But I did work under her, and I got trained up by her. And now things are done a lot differently than we did them then. I'm not saying we did it very simple. Now it's we're learning more of how to take care of the deities, so it's a little more complicated. So now, this is the offering by Sumati Devi. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. And by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. Actually, it is service to Krishna. On July 19th, 1971, by the causeless mercy, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, by the causeless mercy of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, I received second initiation. So she was second initiated just before the installation. So I could care for the just installed. Here it says just installed, so maybe they were. So what's the date? I was told yesterday was the actual anniversary, but that may be according to what?
That was the lunar date.
The lunar date. Okay, so the solar date is different. Okay, so the lunar date is yesterday, because in Vedic culture we follow the lunar calendar, not the sun calendar. So here, they were installed before July 19th. So I received second initiation so I could care for the just installed, most beautiful deities, Sri Sri Radha Gopi Balabha. And that was the beginning of seven of the best years of my life. Of course, Radha Gopi Balabha cared for me more than I was able to care for them. But they so kindly engaged me every day in so much service that for a couple of years, I had only 4 hours to sleep at night. It was amazing how, by the mercy of Radha Gopi Balabha and by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, devotees did amazing amount of service, just amazing. Just didn't sleep. You know, you couldn't do enough, then you have to sleep less. That's it. There was nothing else you could give up. So I had only 4 hours to sleep at night. I learned from them, Radha Gopi Balabha, that they were my lords and I their servant. By attempting to serve them nicely, even though I didn't know how to do anything nicely, they accepted my feeble attempts and made me feel happy in their service. There were a few occasions when the reality of Radha Gopi Balabha being the Supreme Personality of Godhead was mercifully manifested to me. One time, I was desiring kumkum powder to place in the part of Srimati Radharani's hair. I cannot find any in Boston at that time, so I gave up the search. One day, soon after, a mysterious package arrived, just addressed to the pujari. With no return address or name, inside the box was a container of kumkum powder. Another time I needed peacock feathers to make Radha Gopi Balabha a fan, but couldn't find any feathers in Boston. Soon after, early one morning, there was a knock at the front door, and I happened to be there to answer it. a small woman from India handed me a beautiful peacock feather fan. So you're desiring. Radha Gopi Balabha are very, very quick to reciprocate when you have a Krishna conscious desire. I'm not certain how long it'll take if you have a material desire. But I know for a fact that if you have a Krishna conscious desire and you want to do something for them, genuinely, sincerely, they reciprocate and make all arrangements for you to do it. One morning as I was dressing the Lord, I found that their skirts would not close in the back. So I got another outfit with the same result. None of their clothes fit them, and all had to be adjusted. They obviously liked Maturaj's cooking very much. They gained weight. I can say that when I was taking care of the deities, Jagannath deities in Hartford, when my wife went to India, I had people saying they looked like they lost a lot of weight. I just didn't know what to do. So she finally came back and they gotten back to their normal size. But that's true too. But I don't think they really lost weight. It was just I don't know how to dress them very nicely. Many years later, in 2002 or 2003, after I'd foolishly been away from Prabhupada's service for some years, Sri Sri Radha Gopi Balabha brought me back to Krishna consciousness through the agency of their dear servant, Damodar Das. They did it in such a way that I knew without a doubt that they knew me. They remembered me and loved me. I think it's really important. If you sincerely try to please Radha Gopi Balabha, they'll never forget. It even says that it's that one of the qualities of Krishna is that he's grateful. If you do something for him, he'll never forget. And Radha Gopi Balabha are very grateful and very kind and very loving. Srila Prabhupada personally called for Krishna to come to Boston as Sri Sri Radha Gopi Balabha. He chose them in Vrindavan, sent them to Boston, and was the first person to dress them. He also bathed them. And Radharani, he scrubbed Radharani when he was bathing. We must never see them as just forms on the altar. No, here is Krishna, here is Radharani. They have so mercifully come to accept our fledgling service and encourage us to serve them and their servant and serve them and their servants more and more. So the devotee who's a real devotee says he's a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, or as Lord Chaitanya says, of the lover of the gopis. So we have to become not just the servants of Radha Gopi Balabha, but we have to serve the devotees of Radha Gopi Balabha. I am so grateful that they gave me that opportunity. All glories to Sri Sri Radha Gopi Balabha. All glories to their servants and the servants of their servants. Your humble servant, Sri Mati Dasi. So we have about 5 minutes. Does anyone have any comments or questions? Let's see. Radha Gopi Balabha ki jai. I'll move out of the way.